Welcome to the Tournament Poker Edge podcast, brought to you by TournamentPokerEdge.com, the only podcast dedicated exclusively to poker tournament strategy. Now here's your host, Clayton Fletcher.
Hello once again, everybody, and welcome to the Tournament Poker Edge podcast, sponsored by ACR Poker, where this Sunday, October 8th, we are giving away $1,000 in the TPE free roll. And if you want to participate in that free roll, first you have to get an ACR account, which you can do by clicking the link in the description of this podcast, and you can get a 100% first time deposit bonus up to $2,000 just by using the promo code TPE. My name is Clayton Fletcher and I'm in New York City. Happy to be bringing you yet another episode. If you guys want to play in the free roll this Sunday, I hope to see all of you there. And there might be a little something special, a bounty or a giveaway of some kind going on. It is a holiday weekend and I hope to be able to participate in the free roll along with so many of our incredibly loyal Tournament Poker Edge members. You need to join the Discord, the TPE Discord. There's a link for that in the description of this podcast as well. And you can learn how to enter the $1,000 TPE free roll on ACR Poker this coming Sunday. Today, I want to continue talking about that $215 mystery bounty flight that we started on last week. And I actually played in two hands towards the end of play for day one with online poker legend Jonathan Ape Styles Van Fleet. And we're going to discuss two of those hands later on in this episode. But first, you know, guys, we haven't had a scandal in the poker world in at least a few months. So it looks like it's time for a new one. There's a player by the name of Chris Battenfield who plays on WSOP.com in New Jersey and Nevada under the username Battenfield. And he has been accused of using specifically banned RTA, real time assistance. And his accuser is none other than my fellow Maryland native and record holder for the most cashes in a single World Series that he earned this past summer, Michael Holtz, who plays on WSOP.com under the name Brock Lesnar. Now, Mike backed up his claims with some pretty compelling evidence. Of course, he went to Twitter. That's where we all do it. I mean, if you want to stir up drama in the poker world, Twitter is still the best place for it. And he basically flat out accused Christopher Battenfield. He said, quote, "Christopher Battenfield is an RTA cheat. He recently won a ring, parentheses, beat Jeff Platt, heads up, close parentheses. And when playing in the 2K bracelet with him, I became suspicious of his play," end quote. Holtz goes on to explain that there were five spots in which he was battling in the $2,000 event number 17, the 2K6 Max, which was, by the way, the event that was eventually won by Shannon Shore, finally getting his first bracelet after all of these years of being a full-time player in tournament poker. So first things first, congrats to Shannon Shore, finally collecting his first bracelet after all these years. But Mike noticed some very unusual decisions made by Mr. Battenfield in that 2K6 Max. And he took the five different spots and plugged them into a tool that was recently released by GTO Wizard. Now, you guys know GTO Wizard is a tool that many ACR poker pros have said wonderful things about. Ana Marquez back in November of 22. Wow, it's hard to believe it's been almost a year since she was a guest on this exact podcast. But Ana was talking about how she always uses GTO Wizard when reviewing hands that she played on ACR Poker. So this tool is poker software to help you learn game theory optimized strategies But this new thing that they've just released called Fair Play Check is already coming in handy, at least among players who want to check and make sure that their opponents are not cheating them. And upon further review, it appears that Battenfield has a habit of making the perfect play at the perfect time, betting the exact amount that the solver would have him bet, etc., etc. As of yesterday, no one had seen Battenfield playing on WSOP.com, leading some to conclude that he's been banned from playing on the site, despite recently having won a World Series of Poker bracelet. At this time, I feel the need to say these accusations and the evidence against Mr. Battenfield are pretty compelling, and yet, by their definition, circumstantial. In other words, there is no smoking gun. We don't have video evidence of this player using software to cheat. My friend Jeff Platt, out of a bracelet, he did get second place in that event. But to be clear, Mike Holtz, Mike is not making any such disclaimers. Based on the hands that he personally played versus Battenfield and then later ran through the GTO Wizard Fair Play Check tool, he is absolutely convinced that Christopher Battenfield is a cheater. Another interesting piece of circumstantial evidence is that Mr. Battenfield is also a software engineer, and he markets his programming skills online. He actually talks about his online poker experience, including, and I'm quoting from his website, developing an innovative strategy tool for a game called Omaha High Low, end quote. So, I mean, very suspicious, very interesting developing story. Let me know if you've ever played against Christopher Battenfield, aka Battenfield. Let me know what you think about this story. You can reach me on Twitter at Clayton Comic, or you can also just write in the podcast channel of the TPE Discord. All right, enough about that for now. I'm sure there will be a lot more information as it is released, but wow, just wow. And some are calling for Jeff Platt to get a ring. So I think that, yeah, he had played in a ring event, but the other event was a bracelet event. So, you know, some of the details are a little bit fuzzy, but apparently Jeff Platt is owed some jewelry. Jeff, always the gentleman, is not actually demanding any hardware from Mr. Battenfield, but I think that he, much like the rest of us, is interested in the findings of Maryland native Michael Holtz. Yeah, we're all interested. All right, let's get back to this tournament. Remember, guys, it's a $215 mystery bounty flight. The tournament itself has a $2 million guaranteed prize pool, which was shattered, much like many of the tournaments that took place last month on ACR Poker as part of our online Super Series XL. That's right, extra large. So for $215, you could get a seat in this huge event. And if you make day two and bust someone, you can collect a bounty prize up to $200,000. You guys know I'm in. I love this format, and it was time to play. So, you know, we're getting pretty deep now. This thing ends, the day ends after the 500-1,000 level. And I had recently been moved to a very tough table. I recognized two of my opponents, one of them being the great legendary Faraz Jaka, and the other being the aforementioned John Apestyles Van Fleet. Thankfully, both of these tough players are on my right, so I've got a pretty decent seat at a pretty bad table. The blinds are now 400, 800 with a 100 ante per player, and we are playing seven-handed. The average stack is 25,000. And I've got about 21,000. So my M is right around 11, and I've got about 25 big blinds. It's going to be a blind versus blind hand. On my immediate right, Jonathan Van Fleet limps in from the small blind. He's got me covered with about 31,000. So we'll be playing my stack, which is the effective stack, 25 bigs. I'm in the big blind, facing a limp from the small blind. I've got the 9 of hearts, 5 of hearts in the big blind. Well, do we want to check and see the flop or raise and try not to see a flop? I think there is actually a pretty strong case to be made for just raising and hoping that Jonathan doesn't have anything. I mean, he's a great player. I'm in position. He's much better at poker than I'll ever be, probably. So, and I know this. I mean, he's been on top of his game for 20 plus years, a true legend of online poker. And I know we throw that word legend around a lot, especially when I play in the Killing Bird home game or in the TPE free roll, both of which, by the way, are streamed live on twitch.tv/killingbird. But in this case, I think that the legend moniker very clearly applies. We've got two legends, actual legends at the table, Faraz and Jonathan. So Faraz already folded. What do we want to do with the 9-5 of hearts? There is a case to be made for raising. At least that's one way I can win a pot against this guy. He's an excellent player. He's got a skill edge over me. Even when out of position, I am, you know, a little bit intimidated because I have a lot of respect for Jonathan's game. The problem for me is I don't really have any blockers. You know, I'd like to at least have an ace or a king or something if I'm going to bluff raise here. He's good enough, knowing that we're playing my effective stack, 25 big blinds. He's good enough to limp with a strong hand, limp with a junk hand, limp with maybe all of his hands. And so I'm really going to be guessing. If I raise him and he calls, then I'm really just going to be guessing about where we're at in the hand. And then we're going to have a SPR that's going to make it hard to get away if I flop a pair. So it just feels like raising with this hand is a bit wild. I think with maybe an ace-5 suited, it's kind of a no-brainer that I would want to raise. Obviously, with all my value hands, like a pair of 7, something like that. But I did not want to put the 9-5 suited into my bluff raising range simply because I've got a very tough opponent and no blockers. So we check, and we're going to see a flop. And that flop comes ace of hearts, 4 of spades, deuce of spades. So ace, 4, deuce with 2 spades and 1 heart. Hero with the 9 of hearts, 5 of hearts. So we've got a gut shot and a backdoor flush draw. And Ape Styles into the pot of 2,300 chooses to bet the minimum. 1 big blind, 800 chips. And at that point, I think getting 4-1 on a call in position, folding is out of the question. There are so many good cards that could come on the turn. Obviously, we have a draw to the wheel. We've got a lot going on here. It's a pretty robust flop for our holding. And so I think the options are either call and see a turn or raise and try to take it down. So I went with the more aggressive play and I put in about 2,400, 3 times the flop bet. And I really wanted to take it down. But, you know, if he calls, maybe I'll hit a tray or, you know, some other card where I can continue. To my dismay, John made it 5,900. So it was 800. I said 24. And now he said 59. And I was getting 3-1 on a call. And now this pot is getting big. And this is the danger of raising. Also, what the heck is going on here? It's ace, 4, deuce. What did he limp in with? Did he flop 2 pair? Does he have a spade draw and he's trying to get frisky with it? Does he just have an ace and know that it's probably good against me? I mean, what in the heck is going on? Maybe I should just fold, but getting 3-1 in position, I wanted to peel and see another card. I really don't like this decision by me. I called, but I kind of think folding is better. Just throw your hand away. On to the next one. You got outplayed by a great player who outplays people all the time. There's no shame in just giving up. You know what, Clayton? You tried with your little 3x raise there on the flop. It's okay to give up. And if he had made a bigger 3 bet on the flop, I certainly would have folded. But I was just kind of drawn in by that little, I think he just clicked like half pot, which offers me 3-1. Whenever you bet half the pot, guys, you offer your opponent 3-1 pot odds. little fun fact for you there. So I couldn't resist. I decided to call, and I'm really hoping for a tray on the turn. Instead, it comes the Jack of Hearts. So now with 14,000 in the middle, and we've just got a little more than that, like 14,500 in the stack. The board is now Ace of Hearts, Four of Spades, Deuce of Spades, Jack of Hearts, Hero with the Nine of Hearts, Five of Hearts. So now we have a flush draw to go along with our gut shot, and John checks. So what do we want to do here? I mean, this is a great card. What kind of hand puts in a three bet on the flop and then checks the Jack of Hearts on the turn? I honestly had no idea what the heck was going on. This is just not a line that you see very often. I was fully expecting some kind of bet from Ape Styles here on 4th Street. And this one really threw me off. I mean, what should we do? Should we shove? Or do you think he's trying to trap here? Like, what is going on with this turn check? It was very confusing for me. I imagine it's confusing for a lot of you as well. I certainly have some amount of equity in this pot, even if he flopped the nuts with five tray, which is unlikely because we have a five, but certainly not impossible. But even if he has that, we have outs to either chop or win this pot. But is that enough reason for us to go ahead and bet here on the turn? I don't know. I mean, that flop three bet really threw me off. I probably should have just folded then. In this spot, I decided to check. I know that I have a lot of equity, and I had no idea where I stood at that moment. And now this is the key to really getting great at tournament poker. You want your opponent to have the kind of thoughts that I was having playing against Ape Styles here. I don't know where I stand. And because of that, I shut it down. I decided to just check and try to hit something. So I checked behind, and the river comes the five of clubs for a final board of ace, four, deuce, jack, five, and no flush came in. So now Jonathan decides to shove. It's not really all in for him. He's got me covered. And I have a pair of fives. I mean, I can beat a few hands. This is the problem. He may have played a hand like king, queen of spades in this way, or really any spade draw. So this is a really tough situation. Do I want to make a hero call? It's a pot-sized bet for all my chips, offering me 2-1. So, you know, is my hand good a third of the time? I don't know. This is just really hard. I'm not good enough to call. I folded. I wondered about that hand for a long time. I'm still wondering about that hand. Maybe, just maybe, we can pull a few strings and try to get Jonathan to come on to the podcast and actually talk about this hand from his perspective. Because to this day, I don't know whether the fives were good. I had to make the fold and live to fight another day. A little while later, we entered the final level of play for the day. This tournament started with something like 150 players. There were only like 26 of us left. Same exact table we were just talking about. I have about 15,000, so I've been kind of hanging around, staying afloat, but the average stack at this point was a little over 30,000. So I'm really trying to just stick around, hopefully make it to day two and have a shot at some of those big mystery bounty prizes in this tournament. I love this format so much. Did I mention that before? I think I did. All right, so now the action folds again to Ape Styles. He's got 35K at this point. He's got 35 big blinds. He mostly won those chips from me in the previous pot. But yeah, he's doing great. He's got a slightly above average stack with just a few players left fighting for those day two seats. And the action folds to him in the cutoff, and he makes it 2K with 35K behind. I am on the button with 15 big blinds, and I shove. So what's the worst hand I should have? What do you guys think I should have? What would you have? What is your range for shoving? Now, you got to look at the situation here. He makes it 2,000. And when he does, there's already about 2,500 in the middle. And now I'm on the button with 15,000 or so in my stack. And I'm laying 3-1 to try to win this pot. Now, of course, I would do this with a lot of big hands like ace, king, pocket queens, right? I'm going to do that with all of my big pairs, ace, king, and probably ace, queen, ace, jack, maybe even ace, 10, maybe any suited ace. You know, I mean, the guy plays a lot of pots. He's an online poker legend for a reason, and that reason is not that he's a super nit, especially in the cutoff. I think his opening range is pretty wide. So what should I have when I shove? Well, we already talked about my value range, but ask yourself this question, guys. When you shove 15 big blinds in this situation, are you ever bluffing? Do you have any bluffs in your range? If not, then you're pretty darn exploitable by a player such as Jonathan Van Fleet, aka Ape Styles, who's seen it all in his 20 plus years of being an online poker crusher. So I think that against thinking players, we need to have at least a few bluffs in the range. And to me, the 4,500 that was out there, being almost a third of my current stack, the chance of possibly picking it up, combined with the fact that I'm going to have some kind of pot equity when called, made this a shove for me with King 9 offsuit. Now, you may disagree with this. That's too loose, Clayton. What are you doing, Clayton? At least be suited when you do that. And that's fine. I can take the criticism. I don't know what the solvers would have as the proper play with King 9. Do you always fold it? Do you seldom fold it? Do you never fold it? I don't know. Maybe you guys can help me. But we're facing a loose player's min raise open. We've only got 15x, and it's time to try to get some chips for day two. So I moved all in. The action folds back to Jonathan Van Fleet, who snap called with ace 10 and won the pot, busting me just a few minutes before all of us would have made day two, aka Max Payne for Clayton Comic. And that's going to be it for this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you did, please make sure that you are subscribed to the podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get your podcast. By subscribing, it guarantees that it will be automatically downloaded, which helps our overall numbers, which helps our overall rating, which helps us to continue bringing this content to you week in and week out. So for everyone here at Tournament Poker Edge, with special thanks as always to our very generous sponsor, ACR Poker, I'm Clayton Fletcher. Thank you so much for listening.
I wanna hold them like they do in Texas, please. Fold them, let them hit me, raise it, baby, stay with me. Luck and intuition, play the cards with babes to start. And after she's been hooked, I'll play the one that's on her heart. Oh, whoa, whoa, oh, whoa, whoa. I'll get her heart, show her what I got. Oh, whoa. Gambling is fun when you're with me.
I love it.
Russian roulette is not the same without a gun. And baby, when it's love, it's not rough, it isn't fun. Oh, whoa.